Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour with your host, Jenny Seek.
Hi, folks. This is Jenny Seek, and this is your weekly forum for connecting with your intuitive process, all things metaphysical, and honoring and recognizing your soul self. Thanks for tuning in, and enjoy the ride.
Hi, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour this Tuesday evening. This is a forum for folks who are interested in depth psychology, that is the world of archetypes, understanding the unconscious and bringing that forward into our waking life, and the stories that we tell ourselves, the deep stories that hold energy for us, and how to move through those stories and tell stories that are fresh and new and that really speak to who we're becoming from an authentic place of self. So if that topic interests you, and or if the topic of connecting with your intuition, your inner voice interests you, then you're definitely in the right place. I want to share what's coming up on Inner Voice in the very near future, and also to mention for folks who listen to the show last week, I don't usually listen to my shows. I happened to listen to it, and I was getting ice from the ice dispenser at the very beginning and had no idea how loud it was. So I won't do that anymore. And if you were listening to that show, I know that it was a very bold, big sound at the beginning of the show. So I wanted to explain what was going on there. And I'm glad I listened to the show because I never would have known it if I hadn't listened to that show. So with no further ado, next week on December 11th, we'll have Deb Wright on. Deb Wright is a very well-known wellness practitioner in the area. She just opened a wonderful facility called Our Wellness, and she does all types of massage, and she does it with a very intuitive bent. She actually was the first guest that I ever had on Inner Voice when I did the first show, 2.5 years ago. So I'm really looking forward to having her on and seeing how the energy shifted and sharing with you her skills. And then the first weekend in January, I believe that's January 4th, I will have on Monica Foster. Monica Foster is an advocacy proponent for people who are differently abled. She's a powerhouse, and she has a wonderful page on Facebook where she talks all about being differently abled in different ways and how that can help us to live a life that really honors who we are and helps people to have more tolerance and more appreciation for their own differences in their life. So I really encourage you to check out her page, Butterfly. What is it? Let me just get that up there so that I can tell you exactly what it is. It's called Butterfly. Let's see here. Let me just put in Monica Foster, and we will see what that is, too. And you can also look up Our Wellness on Facebook as well. Monica J. Foster, her company is called Butterfly Wheel Motivation. Here it is. I'll click on it. Butterfly Wheel Motivation Advocacy and Consulting, Shifting Your Life's Possibilities into Reality. I made a bracelet for this lady. I also do intuitive designs called Sacred Bracelets and was able to make a bracelet for this lady for her business when she was just starting out. And it was really an honor. She asked me to put a whole bunch of wheels, gears from watches in it. And initially, I was a little bit hesitant because I'd never worked with that medium before, but it was just such an honor to make it for her, and it came out beautifully. And so her company is called Butterfly Wheel, and if you listen to the show, I'm sure she will tell you all about that. With no further ado, I want to introduce my guest this evening. My guest is Elle Kaysen. Elle is a wonderful palmist. I was lucky enough to have her on the show last year, and I just love the way she did palmistry, the way she dealt with it, and the way she read so much into the whole process of it. And really, it was just a wonderful, rich show, so I encourage you to check that out in the archives. And also, while you're there, to just share your shiny face so that we can see that you're listening to Inner Voice and so that you can follow the show and get updates about shows in the future. So anyway, Elle, are you there?
I am.
Awesome. I'm so happy to have you on the show again. I so enjoyed our time last fall.
I did too. It seems like we had a lot of things in common and made for a really good show.
It really did. It was a wonderful, wonderful hour. And I did forget to tell folks who are listening tonight that we're going to be talking about dreams and dream work tonight, which is my absolutely favorite topic on the planet. And I know that you have an affinity for it and love it as well, Elle.
That's true. And I think it's important for people to learn a lot about what they are dreaming. I mean, it's just another way of, I think, spirits or angels or whoever, our loved ones, trying to connect with us a lot of times through dreams.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I know you wanted to share the way that you work with dreams. You had some specific stories that you wanted to share with the listening audience this evening about how you take in that information. So please feel free to share those.
Okay. Well, there's a lot of them, but I think I'm going to talk about the one that has really had the biggest impact on my life, probably. And it took place about 12 years ago, I think. And I had this really, it was this disturbing dream. My house was full of people, and I was trying to get ready, and it was one of those things where I can't find a bathroom to, you know, get a shower, get my hair done, whatever. And there's a lot of people in my house, and I don't know most of these people. But I didn't have a good feeling about it. And towards the end of the dream, there were two men that came to my door in dark suits, and I kind of recognized them but didn't know where from or who they were connected to. And immediately I felt like, there's something wrong here. And for a whole week, I told my husband, I said, there's something about to happen that we're not going to be prepared for because of the fact in the dream, I just couldn't get ready. I couldn't get it together. I couldn't get prepared for whatever it was. And I kept thinking about this all week. And that's another thing. If you continue, a dream sticks in your mind, then it probably means something. But anyhow, about a week later, my nephew ended his life. And of course, there were so many people at the funeral that I didn't know, which symbolized the people in the dream. But the thing that really got to me was at the end of the first night of the showing, the last two people that walked in were these two guys that I saw in the dark suits. And my husband looked at me, and he saw, I guess I turned kind of white or gray, and he said, because I told him about it, and he said, those are the two guys that were in the dream, weren't they? And I said, yes, and then I immediately connected him to my nephew. But I couldn't at the time, you know, it was someone that I didn't know real well. But, you know, so then you have, and other people have probably maybe had similar situations, because I hear a lot of people say they have a dream about death and then they lose somebody. So for years, you know, after that, I think myself and others probably beat themselves thinking, why didn't I do something? Why didn't I figure it out? But I think there's times that we're just not supposed to intervene with God's plan. I don't understand that one sometime, but what are your thoughts on that?
Just that, I mean, I think it's really, really cool that you noticed that the dream felt eerie and you paid attention to it and you brought it into the light of day. Jung talks about this idea of active imagination, and then there's also this, who you probably know of, dream worker Robert Johnson, who's a Jungian guy who wrote a book called Inner Work. And he talks a lot about bringing the different parts of the dream into the light of day and noticing energetically what shows up in our waking life as a bridge from our unconscious to our conscious. And if you had just discounted the dream, you know, and just said, oh, well, it was just a dream, it was eerie, but yeah, forget it, you probably wouldn't have been so aware to notice energetically that something was coming, that there was a story that was going to be told, that these people were going to show up in some way in your waking life. So it's wonderful that you were so open and ready to hear the message of the dream.
Yeah, it was, although I still wasn't prepared. And I guess the thing that I think about the most is, like I said, why sometime are we not supposed to interfere with certain plans? And that's what I was kind of trying to get a feel for. But and there's been many others. I mean, a lot of them are dreams that aren't really that important. Like one day I dreamt that my niece, she looked different and she had her hair highlighted. And then in the next scene, she was walking through a factory in a hard hat, and a lot of people were following her. And I said, I just had this dream about you. Are you getting your? Did you get your hair lightened or something? She said, well, actually, I was hoping to get an appointment today and get in and get it highlighted. I said, really? Mm-hmm. She said, yeah, but they're full. And she said, they said they'd call me if they had an opening. I said, it's a done deal. I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
Your hair has been highlighted. And mm-hmm. and she told me that she'd also just got a promotion. She works for Allison's, and so she had a lot of new people under her, and that's what the hard hat and walking through the factory was about. But so that was a dream that wasn't real important, mm-hmm. but interesting that I picked that up. And she called me later. She said, yeah, they had an opening and my hair's getting done. I said, well, I told you.
Awesome. Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, I would say that most of the big things that have happened in my life that I could, you know, that I was surprised by kind of started in a dream. You know, I remember working with, at a younger time in my life, I was really struggling with being very, very academic and kind of disconnected and these sorts of things. And I had this dream that I was up on this pile of pillows high in the sky, like 4 miles in the sky or something. And I was sitting there up on this pile of pillows, and I could look down and see everything around me, but I couldn't move, because if I moved, I would fall, right? I wouldn't be able to, you know, sit perfectly among all of these pillows. And I just thought in the dream, you know, I don't care. I know this is a dream. I'm lucid. I'm going to just move myself around and get comfortable. And, of course, all the pillows fell. And when they fell, I ended up in the seal cove surrounded by all of these sweet, you know, seals. And, of course, in a dream, you're not wet and you don't get hurt and all of that. And I was fine.
Right.
And then I ended up going to this graduate program in California, and walking down the beach, and the people in the graduate program, it was just kind of my opportunity to connect with people on a deeper level and on an equal level. So instead of being like in this kind of academic place of, you know, not connecting with people, I was surrounded by colleagues who I could connect with for the first time. And walking down the beach just about 2 blocks from my house and right to the seal cove that had been in my dream. And I used to just hang out with the seals every morning and just kind of, you know, sing and hang out there and meditate and that sort of thing. So it was kind of amazing. It's like, you know, I don't know what connection that dream had. And those dreams happened over the course of, you know, a couple of years. So before I actually ended up out in California in that program. So I think it's so important to take the dream images and, instead of like expecting them to materialize right away, holding the energy of the dream and seeing what happens, because usually they're what we're wanting to do in our waking life anyway. On some level, we're wanting to bring whatever's going on in the dream life into our waking life, or need to, like in your first dream, you know.
Yeah, I feel exactly the same way. And I was thinking about what you said about being up on the pillars and, you know, going kind of like jumping or getting into the field. And I'm thinking, I almost look at that as a leap of faith. You were finally going to just try something different.
Absolutely. And that's really, really exactly what it was, because I had another dream where I was going up this tributary of this river, and I got to the very, very top, at the top of this mountain. Don't ask me why the water was flowing up. And get to the very, very top, and there's these three temples there that each have this dock, and I jump off of this one dock. There's this very, very dark-skinned African-American man, and he, like, kisses me on the cheek. He's like an angel. And I jump off the dock into the water, and there are all these snapping turtles. And I, because of the way that I jumped so quickly, and I went to the bottom of the water, and I noticed as I was coming back up to the surface that through my own, the velocity of my own body, you know, my own propulsion, I could keep these turtles at bay in this circle away from me, and they couldn't hurt me. And after I had that dream, I realized that that had represented some of the different kinds of situations I'd had to deal with in jobs and that sort of thing, but that I had this tool where I could keep them away from me. And that's when I decided that as I was getting ready to go out to do this work, I would start jumping off of the high diving board. So I did that exact thing that you just said about taking a leap of faith. I went over to the pool and I jumped off of the high diving board every single day, and I thought about taking a leap of faith. I thought about, you know, leaping forward and not, and knowing that something would catch me and that I would be okay. And I imagined being that person jumping into the water and being fine. So it's really great that you caught that about that whole idea of taking a leap of faith.
Well, that's great that it worked for you. And, you know, when you think about, you know, sometimes we talk about protection. This is a little bit different than dreams, but, you know, you had those snapping turtles around you, and I guess you could have visualized those turning the other way in the circle to protect you from...
That's an interesting idea. Yeah, yeah. I don't think I could have done it in the dream at that time, just because for me they were so scary that... I had to do something, you know, I mean, I think that that's absolutely true, and I could have done that, and that's a brilliant idea. But I think sometimes these dreams come to us, and we can only do what we can do in the dream because we're not ready to do, you know, that kind of magic yet.
Yeah, no, I was talking about in your waking world, like, you know,
people
will visualize a crystal bubble around them or whatever for protection.
Yeah.
The turtles, it could be some type of animal spirit thing, too, you know, maybe that could be used, but that's really neat. That's neat.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you've been, you know, taking a lot of chances through a big part of your life and trying to make changes, and have maybe even, you know, been bullied a little bit because you talked about the academic thing.
Yeah.
And so I feel like, you know, how does sometimes part smart people are picked on, unfortunately. And so I feel like you've had to fight the bullies.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And it's kind of fun now because as I'm starting to develop these businesses, I'm getting a lot of clients who are dealing with bullies or people who are narcissistic. And so it's funny. It's like, you know, initially you don't have the tools that you need, and you figure out how to take the journey yourself, and then there I am, and a bunch of my clients are going, I don't know what to do with this person at work, and they shouldn't say things like this to me. I'm like, oh, okay, we're going to work on this stuff again, you know, from another perspective.
You got to visualize getting those turtles out, I guess.
Exactly.
Putting them around you, but that's really good. And, you know, speaking of water like that, you know, a lot of people have water dreams, and of course they're all different depending on, you know, what color the water is,
mm-hmm.
what, you know, if you're basking in the sun or if you're drowning in deep green-brown water, you know, which often means you're just overwhelmed, you know, with life and fear and so on. But one thing I think is that I think is important for people to realize is that if you're doing an interpretation for somebody or and somebody says, well, what does this mean when I see a tornado coming? Well, sometime you can take it literally, or sometime, you know, it has another meaning behind it. I think a lot of times things are symbolic, but there are a lot of prophetic dreams. But when I first started kind of doing this, and I used to have dream circles, and we kind of bounced off of each other, what I realized is that a lot of times people, say somebody in the group, if one of us had started talking, she would say, oh, wait a minute, I know where this is going. I know the answer to this. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, that person's not even done talking yet. Let them finish. And or she'd say, well, a blue sky means this or that. And what I've learned to do, I think it's important to ask the person, what does that mean to you?
Because, I so appreciate that. Yeah.
Yeah. And
go on,
what it means to what it means to me and what it means to you may be totally different, because it's like I don't like any of the nocturnal type animals. And somebody was having a dream about I forget what one it was, maybe a bat or something, and this was many years ago, and I remember saying, "Oh my gosh, I bet you were just blah blah blah," and I'm going on and on, and they "No, I love bats."
Right.
So
right.
Here I was trying to push it another way and realizing, okay, this is a question I need to ask. What does this
absolutely
mean to you?
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Rather than it being pushed on you, and I've had it done, and I know I've done it in the past in the beginning. But
you brought up so much in that piece that you just said. Jung talks about this idea of the collective unconscious and the archetypes that we all share that are universal. So I think on some level that it's important to notice exactly what you're talking about. Like, was the water choppy? Was the water smooth? Was the water deep? Because those things mean different things. If it's a little bit of shallow water, a lot of deep water. And I think that's what you were saying in your first point. But then the second point is so important, and that's the personal archetypes. And that has to do with what we bring to our own stories and our own experiences of those symbols. I just worked with this lady this morning, and I think it's so important to say, you know, when we look at the dream and start to unpack it, where is there a lot of energy for you? Because it's not all equally relevant. And then what does that symbol mean for you? What does it feel like? Did you like it? Did you enjoy it? Was it scary to you? Did you want to get away from it? Did you want to get up close to it? You know, those kinds of questions that you're talking about are so important. And these dream dictionaries sometimes are so, you know, I don't know, black and white in their interpretation that they can actually get people further and further away from what the dream meant to them. And so I really appreciate what you're saying there.
Yeah, it really does. And I think that's why probably a variety of dream books are good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's great to work with a buddy. Everybody should have a dream buddy or two and bounce off of each other. But one of my favorite ones is The Mystical, Magical, Marvelous World of Dreams, and it's by Willa Penner. And, of course, she's deceased now. I think she died about 10 years ago. But now, of course, different books, different strokes for different folks, I guess you could say. This book, I would say, would be more for the person who wants to look at the spiritual or intuitive side of dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And some are just more clear than that. But, you know, so there's a lot of other books, too. But that's one in particular that if you want to look at that side, that's a good book to look at. She's got a lot of good stuff in there.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'll check that out for sure.
Yeah. I don't know that I'm assuming her books are still in print, even though she's gone. I'm not sure, because I've had mine forever. In fact, she signed it. I think it's been about 20 years ago.
Oh, that's awesome.
But there are a lot of good ones. But I think the ones that there's some that just has a meaning. Like you said, it'll say water, or if you see a tree, or if you see this, or you see that. And that, I think those are some halfway good guidelines to start with. But just remembering that people need to figure out what those things mean to them.
Exactly. No, I really think that's so, so important. And it gets missed. And I think, too, when people start to get involved in intuitive or metaphysical, you know, worlds and bring that up in their life, a lot of times they're so inclined to just be grasping onto the meaning as opposed to looking deeper for their own unique meaning in their stories and in their dreams and stuff. So I always encourage people in all the classes I teach and stuff to close the books. You know, I open them eventually, but don't go to the books before you go to yourself and ask yourself, your own intuition, these questions, because that's just a better barometer.
That, you know, that's a great idea. A lot of people will start with a book, and it might be better off just doing like we do often in groups, you know, just mm-hmm. do some group dreaming with each other. We've even tried in groups trying to ask when we go to sleep for a group dream to kind of all dream about the same thing, and we never had a whole lot of luck with that. There would be maybe a couple people that would be on the same page and the rest of them not. Have you ever done that? Or?
Yeah, actually, I do that with my partner a fair amount. We'll find that we dream similarly often. And I actually haven't done it as much with dream groups, but I have done it with intuitive development groups. I was involved for a while with a spiritualist church, and we used to do this intuitive development group, and we would find that we all had the same image that was coming up for us in different ways when we were doing readings for people. And I thought it was a really great way to do it, because I think sometimes when people start doing this work, they can either kind of disappear because they're intimidated by it, or the flip side, you know, they can get real into their ego and real into what they're seeing. And sometimes I think that it's cool as a group to work with this imagery and this intuition that's coming up on a group level, because it takes the onus off of it being about what one person is coming up with and becomes about what the whole group is coming up with. And I think that's really a nice way. And I think indigenous nature-based cultures, it was much more based on the idea of the tribe and holding an image for a tribe instead of one single person doing it for one other person. So I just think it can be empowering in that way. Whether it's dream groups or the other.
That's really a neat thought. That kind of makes me think about wanting to try that again as a group, or just with a couple of people, close friends maybe, that do that type of thing. You know, especially in today's world with things going on, or, you know, mm-hmm. to focus on something that we think may be happening or is about to happen and get a real feel from the same type of people that kind of think like you do.
Yeah. It also sounds to me, Elle, like you've done some dream group work. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? Because I don't have a lot of experience with that, and I bet people would be really interested to hear about that.
Well, actually, we did it more just, I used to have like what I call, you know, psychic circles and intuitive groups. And every week we would work on a different subject. So some weeks it would be dreams. And then if we really got onto something, that we might carry the dreams on for 2 or 3 weeks. So it maybe wasn't constantly dreams, but we did a lot of dream work in our circles.
Awesome.
Yeah. And but some of the other things, but I do have friends that I, you know, probably on every couple weeks were saying, well, I had this dream, you know, what do you, because sometimes, don't you think maybe we're too close to ourselves?
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
Depending on the dream.
Kind
of like doing a reading.
Yeah, that's why when I've done work with folks with dreams, I always ask them where the energy is in the dream and then help them go through all the symbols and slow it down and ask them all these questions so they can get what is underneath. Because I think sometimes, yeah, exactly what you're saying, we have this loaded content, you know, what Jung calls complex material, and that's why a lot of times we have nightmares too, because we're trying to work things out in our unconscious. And so I think that it's great to slow it down and to give the person some perspective so that they can observe and feel on a deeper level and separate those two pieces for themselves. So absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, and I guess nightmares is another topic. And when what I kind of believe is that on, if you have the same reoccurring nightmare all the time, obviously it is something you really want to listen to. You know, if you, even if it's three times a year, but it's the same scary nightmare, then you really need to pay attention. Where I've heard people say, well, I just have this nightmare, you know, every now and then, and just kind of blow it off. Well, no, we need to fix this,
yeah,
you know, because it's something you need to change in your life, or, you know, one of those awful lessons we haven't learned yet, or whatever. But those are really probably more important to pay attention to than the good dreams, I would guess.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, too, that sometimes there are patterns. For instance, you hit on the fact that I had a history of being bullied, which I'm sure you picked up intuitively, but that was a big part of my dream life for, I don't know, probably two, three very actively working through that. But when I was younger, probably for the better part of my life, I would have very,
aww,
very strong nightmares,
yeah,
and I had to start working with it. You know, I couldn't just ignore it because it got bigger and bolder and scarier, and so it was like the unconscious saying, you got some stuff to work out here, you know, and so I had to start to stand up in the dreams and fight back and develop more of a warrior archetype and all those sorts of things. So, yeah, absolutely. I think that the nightmares are definitely in some ways more important, and that sometimes we get those nightmares so that we can work that out, so that we can get to those more magical dreams. And sometimes for a lot of people, I think, who have experienced trauma, there's a tendency to not like their sleep life because there are a lot of nightmares. And there's almost like this thing where you have to work through to get to what Jung calls a transcendent function, you know, the magical stuff that you were talking about, that woman writing that book about magical, mystical dreams. And I think a lot of people don't have that experience before they work through some of the nightmares.
No, probably not. I just think it's wonderful that you have come where you're at. You could say to those bullies now, look at me now.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly, yeah.
But, you know, you and I have never actually met before. We've just, you know, we've just talked and chatted a little on the internet. But I see you as more of a warrior type,
mm-hmm,
and maybe it's because you've really worked hard to get to that point, it sounds like. But if for those out there that would believe in past lives, you've
mm-hmm
been a warrior. You've been a warrior. And it just took a while to bring that out in you. It took probably a lot of beatings, it sounds like, you know, beaten up to bring you out where you needed to be again.
Wow, I'm really having a strong response because I just got a reading from a lady at the Angels and Aliens exhibition, and I wasn't even going to get a reading. And by the way, for folks who do not know Casey Matronia, eventually, hopefully, I'll convince her to be on the show. But she's a wonderful, wonderful intuitive, and she had to say the exact same thing. She said that I had experienced a past life as a gladiator. And I was kind of like, huh? And so it's just funny to have that confirmation, you know, two of those circles.
Wow.
Yeah, I think in my earlier life, I just didn't know how to back down, and I didn't know when I'd met my match, so to speak. Sometimes when we're strong, we just don't get it, and, you know, we don't know that someone has more power than we do, even if they're not good inside, you know. And so they can really do damage, and it takes time to go, oh, okay, I want to go in the opposite direction. This isn't, you know, a fight that's worth taking on, you know. There's no good to be had here. Person can't see this light, you know.
Well, little did the bullies know that everything they did to you just made you stronger and made you who you are today.
You're giving me chills. So, it's totally true. It's totally true.
So,
wow.
Well, this is turning out to be more of an intuitive reading, but whatever it is, and I love hearing all your feedback and confirmation on things. I mean,
oh yeah,
it makes me think that I'd like to almost have a you know how they had used to have what they called psychic phone parties, just to have a whole group even on the phone if you couldn't meet face to face.
No, what's a psychic phone party? I don't even know what that is.
Oh, well, we had about three or four of us. We'd get together, and we would, if somebody wanted to have a party and say, you know, like I'm in Indiana, you're in Ohio, and you got five or six people, there might be two or three of us, and we, you know, we would call or they would call us, and we'd all give them a reading. It might be maybe each person got a half-hour reading or 20-minute reading, whatever, because a lot of people, for whatever reason, a lot of my clients are in southern Indiana, Cincinnati area, and so on. So we've done things by phone like that.
Fun.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. So,
awesome.
You know, it'd be kind of fun to do something like that again sometime. But, no, I think those of you that, you know, really want to kind of get started in dreams or maybe start a dream group, like Jenny said as well, it'd be good to get together and talk about it, go back and forth with it before you do actually. I mean, when I think back, I've had sheets of paper when I used to go to these classes and people would say, and everything would be lined up, this means this, this means that. And you know, it is a little bit of a guide afterwards, but you really got to know yourself what that means
absolutely.
To you.
Absolutely. I think that's expert advice. I think that's so important, you know, because you can really get lost in dreams. And you can get lost in books. I feel kind of bad. I do these talking engagements at this one bookstore, and I didn't realize that I was saying at these, you know, the speaking engagements not to open books for a while. And then my friend pointed it out to me. She said, Jenny, you know, they're hosting you. You probably don't want to tell them in a bookstore not to open books. But I'm always really wary, and I don't know. Now I go, oh, this is a wonderful book, and that's a wonderful book. I figured it out. But I think that people have to be really wary when they start to engage this material because you can get lost in it. I mean, you really can. There's a lot there, and it's true on different levels, and it speaks to different people in different ways. And I just think it's so important to have a good partner that can mirror it for you and help you work it out like you were talking about in dream groups or you know, to just be very careful in terms of what material you're taking in because it can be really overwhelming. And if you don't know yourself like you're talking about, if you're not particularly grounded, it can take you further off course than it does lead you to, you know, water. So.
Well, it does, and you know what? You're so right because it can scare you to death if you really, if you really try to think about it. Literally, it just you just do, you know, because like I've heard people say, well, I had a dream that, you know, I died, I saw myself in a casket, and there again, I don't like to say there's a set rule and everything's black and white, but normally that doesn't mean you're going to die.
Exactly.
It's usually, a lot of times it's a rebirth of something else, of something good, or, you know, the death of a relationship or whatever. So it is good to talk things out and not just go by, like, well, you know, you work with the tarot when the death cards comes up, everybody.
yeah, but it means, you know, resurrection and rebirth and all. Yes, exactly. So it's so important to have a guide. So do you keep a dream journal? It sounds like you've done that. Is that part of your practice now, or how does that work for you, Al?
I have. I've got little tablets here and tablets there. I haven't as much lately because I've got this sleep apnea machine now. And so it kind of restricts me from, you know, getting up and moving and getting something in the middle of the night unless I think about it. But, yes, I have little tablets here and there. Some of them are really full. I have journals and you know, and it's funny. I used to keep them by my bed, and I need to do that. Put it right back next to my bed again, because what I found, if you're dreaming something, even if it's really profound, if you wait until your feet hit the floor and you're on your way to the bathroom, that dream may be gone. Unless it's, you know, unless it's one of those like I had with my nephew or something really disturbing, I'll remember it. But that's why I say it's really good to keep something close to your bed, and that way you can set up. I've wrote in the dark. And just scribbled enough. You know how it is. You're probably the same way. If three words will prompt you to remember the next day.
Absolutely. And I'll even do that when I'm lucid. Like in the dream, I'll think, okay, now what are several words that will, you know, make a scene return for me? So I'll be like, okay, well, this is an important symbol. This is an important symbol. Sometimes I have to be careful because I'll start to interpret in the dream, and that then you're not really very present for the dream. But
I never thought about not very present. That's a good one.
Because it's nice to be present. Because it's an opportunity to go somewhere else, you know, and experience something in a different way. So you don't want to be analyzing it while you're dreaming. We do too much of that in our waking world.
Because you might be looking at a book in the dream.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. But I honestly, and I think I don't write as much as I used to because I really do remember a lot more. I mean, I've done this since I've been about 14 years old. And it wasn't till later that I started working with it more. But, I mean, I really do remember at least one dream every night. Because I don't know about you or people out there listening. I bet I have at least five dreams a night. And I usually remember a couple of them.
That's wonderful that you have that much dream recall.
Well, I guess. I've had a doctor tell me, my regular doctor, he said, if you're dreaming that much, you're not sleeping. And I thought, well, I thought that's when you're really in a deep sleep.
Yeah, I thought that was when you were doing rapid eye movement, and that's fine.
So I'm kind of confused as to why he said that, because I thought, boy, I'm never sleeping then, I guess.
He's wrong. I don't know.
Yeah, he's wrong. He's just got to be wrong.
I don't know if I buy that. I don't know. I guess I don't know enough about it, but that doesn't feel right to me.
No. But so I really, that's another reason I haven't done as much, is because I normally remember, and the next morning I'll talk to my husband about it, and, you know, he'll tell me his, but he doesn't have near the dreams, or he doesn't have near the recall that I do. So I bounce off of him a lot, and he really comes up with some things that I might not think about because I'm already thinking. I'm thinking, okay, this could mean, he'll say, well, wait a minute, let's look at it like this.
Exactly.
Or that, you know. So everybody needs a dream partner if
absolutely.
You don't have a group. Yeah.
Absolutely. I think that's great. I think, too, we're moving into a time, I'm really excited, actually, because I mean, everybody talks about how everything is going so much faster now and we're manifesting things so much faster. And I definitely feel that, you know, with the end of the Mayan calendar and all of these different, you know, ideas about ascension of the species and stuff. And it feels to me energetically like things are manifesting a lot faster. And like we're going into this place where energetically we just are not as focused on externals in some ways, and it feels to me like we're more focused on building community and like maybe we're returning to something that was more like our indigenous nature-based kind of cultures, you know, and I'm kind of excited about that, I have to say.
Well, I you know, I guess we should be, really. I mean, so many people are afraid. Other people are saying, well, hey, I'm ready to go, you know, and I think everybody has, you know, it's really a mixed box of rocks out there now, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, it really is.
And because of that, I think it's hard to communicate with a lot of different people. Like if you're in a group setting where you got family, you got a few friends, you got some acquaintances, you know how you try to entertain everybody, but nobody's really getting together with each other because they're all from different walks. I hate that sometimes, but that's the way it is. But it's so that's how I feel it kind of is right now with, like you said, the times the way they are and things speeding up. Everybody has different thoughts on it, and I'm thinking maybe that's why people are just so out there today. You know, they're some people are really rude, and then other people will just fall over backwards for you, and then, you know, the next one will do this or that, and it's really hard. So I'm sure people are having a lot of different thoughts about things, especially with December the 21st coming up. I mean, I don't see the world ending December 21st.
No,
I just think things are, ever since 9/11, the world has changed as we knew it.
Yeah, that's really true. That's very true. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's probably that's probably where it's going to go, you know, from now. Maybe things are just going to continue to change. America is just changed. It's just not the world it used to be or the country it used to be. But, and I've had some dreams, I'd call them more nightmares, where we were actually, you know, being attacked, where there was war, there were aliens.
When I was in high school, I had a whole series of dreams where the world was ending. I mean, night after night after night, like there would be bombs flying through the sky and buildings like falling to dust at the edge of the land, and they were juxtaposed between these streams of these tiny little gnomes running around and dancing. I don't know, but so it would either be like my dreams were really, really kind of prophetic, it seemed like, and scary, or they were like really, really magical and nothing in between. But I've also had some kind of prophetic. I had a dream about President Obama, and he knocked on the door, and there was this tiny little marmoset monkey, and I can't remember what all that was about, but then it had something to do with big chunks of the earth, the fault line moving around the Hocking Hills area, and that was like right before that whole thing had happened with the fracking, noticed that there were, you know, earthquakes and things like that due to the fracking. And I remember when I had the dream feeling like this is prophetic. On some level, this is happening, because I was trying to give a message to him about this and in the dream. And it was about a year and a half before the actual event took place in Youngstown. But I remember waking up and thinking, this dream was not just for me. This dream was a dream to tell people about something that's coming. I think it's so interesting when you have those dreams and you know that the dream isn't just for you. That, like, you had the dream in the very beginning where you felt like you had to tell about these two men and you had to carry it forward with you. And I just think it's interesting when you know you're holding a dream for a group of people or for someone else, you know?
Yeah, especially when it's a bad one like that. I mean, that it's going to be not a good thing for all, and there were lots of people involved in that one. But so what do you feel then about, or what are you supposed to do with this dream you had, do you think, then?
Well, I told a lot of people about it, and I said it felt really real. I said, not the first part. The first part was about, you know, I mean, the first part, a little monkey, and then him entering the door, and all. I mean, that was just about like his persona, and how, I mean, that was a different piece. But the piece that was, I know it was funny, and I just want to keep this little monkey. He was so sweet. But anyway, no. The point of the dream that was important was the part where there was the fault line right around Hocking Hills, and the whole earth started to move, and it was like glacial grooves, and it was like the glaciers like were flattening something, and it really did feel like I was holding the dream. And I've had those kinds of dreams before, where I feel like I'm holding a dream for the culture or for a certain group of people. And I think the most important thing is just to share your dreams. I think that we live in a culture that really devalues that kind of intuitive knowing or that kind of before knowing, you know, and says, oh, well, if it's not rational, then it's not meaningful. And actually, it can guide us so well and so beautifully in so many ways, you know.
That's true, and just think of, and probably a lot of the things that you and I have had and other people, other dreamers have had that we feel like should be shared, it would be hard to share that, wouldn't it? Because if you called, you know, the news channel or whatever, well, people are going to think you're crazy.
That's a really good point.
And it wouldn't be the first or last time in my life that happened to me with all this stuff. But, you know, it is interesting because sometimes, it's the same thing, and you've probably done this too, whether it be for, you know, the whole nation or just a certain person, there are sometimes that maybe if it's, you know, kind of a prophetic dream and not real good, you know, sometimes I wonder if I should share it with that person. Say, like, if I had, you know, visioned a bad car accident or something with them, would putting it out there sometime, I think it might give more energy to, you know, that, you know how what they say, thoughts are things, and putting those thoughts out in the universe and telling someone, well, I see you having an accident, might that cause them to have one? You know what I mean? Or would it just worry them?
Well, I wonder about the person, like the temperament of the person. I mean, it might make some people more cautious, and it might make some people feel like it was already a done deal. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, that's a good point. I didn't think about that. Yeah, it would depend on if I was relaying it to one of my dream buddies or my people that I do readings with or whatever, that probably could. But if it was somebody, maybe even just a family member, maybe I wouldn't want to do that. That's true. Because everybody does take things in a different way. But in the same way with a reading, you know, there are some things that you just, you know, you might say and you might not say to different people. But, this has been really interesting because I've got a lot of different thoughts about dreams and things, just what little bit I've spoke with you as well. And that's why I think groups and buddies are nice, because everybody has different ideas or thoughts about it.
And absolutely.
And none of them, that's why I say going by a sheet of paper or exactly what a book says is not always not always the right way. It'll just give you some ideas maybe, but I guess the thing I like about Wilda's book, I mean, she's got like, there's even kind of just stories and scenarios. There's not a lot of black and white stuff in here, and I think that is why I like that. But, those people out there that are interested should get a group together.
Wilda Kesser was the name? K-E-S-S-E-R?
Tanner, T-A-N-N-E-R.
Oh, Tanner, Wilda Tanner. Okay, and what was the name of the book again?
The Mystical, Magical, Marvelous World of Dreams.
Awesome. I will definitely get that for sure. When I was in high school, it was the first kind of foray into dreams that I had ever done, and I got really serious about it, and I read a whole bunch of Anne Faraday's books. The Dream Machine and all of those were popular in, like, the mid-80s, and she was a lucid dreamer, and she was a little bit more on the continuum of, you know, manifest what you want right now kind of thing, which I kind of balk at, because I think sometimes that is lacking in gratitude to be so focused on ego. But I have to say that her treatment of dreams and how to get in touch with them and how to become more lucid, a lot of her material was really, really helpful at the same time. So for folks out there who are listening, who are wanting to get more involved in, you know, working with dreams, the book that you just recommended by Wilda Tanner sounds really wonderful. And then Inner Work by Robert Johnson, which will help you dialogue with dream figures. And anyone can do that, you know. And then also I would say Anne Faraday's books are really, really good just to learn how to become more lucid and how to start to ask for, you know, ask from this place of what would you like to dream about, you know, this sort of thing, and then working to create a bridge between your dreaming and your waking and helps you to do some of that stuff.
That would be an interesting read. I don't think I've read her stuff, and that would be, because I've heard people tell me before that they'll be in a dream, and I've done this occasionally myself, and they've, like if somebody was chasing them, they turned around and started chasing them.
They
were able to do that. It's those things, you know, like you said, when you're dreaming, but you know you're dreaming, like a dream within a dream, and you turn around and now you're the bad guy, you know, get away from me. And I have done that a few times, and I would like to, I really need to learn how to do that more. I just need to focus on it more. I think we can all learn to do things. We just need to focus on it and decide that's what we want to do.
Well, and Jung even talks about the idea that when we do that, when we change that polarization between, you know, the victim and the pursuer kind of thing, in our dream life, we change the energy cycles in the way that we interact with people. And I know for myself that I definitely felt that way when I started to contain the energy or confront the energy of the dream. I started to feel like I had more creative energy to use in my waking life, and I didn't have to give it away to, you know, I didn't have to disempower myself so much. So the people that had scared me before didn't scare me after I started to do that dream work. I just kind of became more curious about them, and then maybe internalized some of the skills that they had, you know. And so that's a really interesting piece, to shift the energy that way.
Yeah, and you're right. I guess if you can shift it in your sleep time, in your dream, then you would think that we could shift it in our waking time.
Well, because of the way dreams work on a quantum level, you know, they change us so much. So they change the way that we respond and react to things, too.
Well, yeah, and that makes me think, that is so good. I'm going to remember that, because I'm going to have to think back to where maybe I have changed something in my dream, or been the, you know, then I turned around and was the pursuer or whatever. At that time in my life, if that did change things. You know, it's like for years I had the same, I worked for this big company I'll call Corporate America because I hate those places. You know, they're just so about numbers and this and that. But anyhow, I had this reoccurring dream for the longest time that I was at work, and I was trying to go up to the third floor or fourth floor, whatever, in the elevator, and I always got stuck in the elevator. Well, that one was pretty clear. I wanted to move up, and I just couldn't move up. I wasn't getting to where I wanted to go. So I finally got off the elevator and just left, literally, you know, after about 12 years. But it was like, that's why I don't have that dream anymore.
Awesome, because you completed it, you know. There's no energy held there anymore. I have so enjoyed talking to you. We only have a very limited amount of time, so I want to make sure that you're able to give people information about how to get a hold of you for your wonderful palmistry, and maybe to talk more about dreams or to do dream work, or it would be the time now.
Okay, and I do even some email readings, like to do with dreams or whatever. And as you know, we can do palmistry. You can send me a picture of your palm, make a copy on a copying machine, and Jennifer can tell you how great her hand turned out. You can see the lines on a piece of paper better than you can on your hand almost. But my email address is dreammagic7@aol.com, and I'm going to spell that because there's only one M in it. So that's dreammagic7@aol.com. I'll give you my phone number as well, It's 765-778-4557.
Thanks so much,
yeah.
Elle. We're out of time, but I've so
okay.
enjoyed it. Can't wait to have you on again. Take great care. Have a great
you
evening.
You too. You too.
Okay.
Good night.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Whatever you do between now and next week, go and make magic, feel magic, create magic, rebirth magic. That's what we're here for. Take care, everybody. Bye now.